Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
Hey guys, this is the champion Sean Shirk, and you're listening to Fear Evil.
What's going on, guys? Welcome back to Pure Evil MMA. I'm your host, as always, Evil Eddie. And today we got a really special guest for everybody. I know I say that a lot, but we've had four UFC champions that we've interviewed over time. But this one goes back to the roots of where I started. Before I had pay-per-view parties, I used to hang out with my dad, and we used to watch pay-per-views with the high school friends. We got the Muscle Shark. We got the champ, Sean Shirk, joining us along with his son, Tegan, who is following in his father's footsteps. What's going on, fellas? Or I should say, we got two champs on the line. I think that's a little bit better here. What's going on, guys?
Good. It's going good. How you doing?
It's going well. So first, let me start with Tegan. Tegan, your father, obviously a legend. What was it like growing up with your father? Traveling a lot. I know that he was over in Japan for a little while. Maybe you're too young to even remember that, but he made a lot of sacrifice for you. He even tried to make a lot of local shows instead of traveling. Do you remember that? Like, what was your childhood like with a father that's always jumping around?
I remember a little bit. I feel like every weekend he was gone, he would always come back with, stitches on his head, I don't know. He would always come back hurt. I'd always think about, what is he doing? That's why.
Wait, hold on. Is that your line or my line doing that over there?
Oh, that's not mine. Sounds like a business signal of some sort.
So that had to be weird. Sean, how did you address that to your children? Because I do a podcast with James McSweeney from Ultimate Fighter Season 10, and he's kind of brought that up, like having to address to a child what it's like to have a parent that's, in the fighting business, and how to not look up to that in the way of violence. Like, how is that for you as a father, coming home with those stitches on your head? How did you explain that to Tegan?
Well, the kids were real young when I was competing. My last fight was 2010, so Tegan would have been 4 and my other son would have been 5. So I think they knew something was going on, but they didn't really know what. And it's not something you can really explain to them. They don't understand the magnitude of what was taking place. They just knew Dad had a job where I traveled and come home with some bruises and stuff like that. But, that was their version of normal. That's what they knew was normal. So it's not like I went to school it's not like I got up in the morning and left the house with a suit and tie and a briefcase. I left the house with gym clothes and I came home with black eyes. That's what they're used to.
And then they're getting to the age where they start watching The Transport and I'm like, wait, is Dad part of the CIA or something? Like, why is he traveling?
Right?
I read that you made the decision to stop traveling a lot because you wanted to be more of a family man. Was that something that was affecting you and your wife and the children? Did you see that? And was that affecting you as a fighter, kind of a distraction? Because a lot of fighters will say they feel better when, even their wife and children are ringside. Even Frank Mir has his daughter in the corner now. So what was that like for you?
Well, my kids were too young to be traveling with me, so that was never really an option. And towards the end of my career, I stopped traveling long distances. I wouldn't be out of town for 2, 3, 4 days a week. I'd leave on the weekends, and I did a lot of seminars, and I did a lot of meet and greets and things of that nature because, my phone was ringing all the time, and I knew there was a light at the end of the tunnel. The career was coming to an end, so I couldn't turn down opportunities that were coming my way because I knew it was all going to stop relatively soon. So I took advantage of all the opportunities, but I just spent less time away from home. Like if an event was on a Saturday, I'd leave Friday night or Saturday morning and then come home, you know, Sunday morning. So I was only gone for a day and a half rather than 2 or 3 days, like you know, earlier in the career. So, you know, I just kind of made the adjustments, but I didn't turn down any of the opportunities still.
Now, what was Tegan doing when he would get home? Because, you know, obviously he's following your footsteps. He's got a lot of things going on right now, going 5-0, you know, winning the tournament. I know that you got to be one proud father. So what was Tegan doing? Did you know that he was interested in that? Or do you feel pressure?
When he was born, I knew what he was born to do. I mean, he was born to compete. He was born to wrestle. He was born to box. I mean, he's been boxing with me since he was probably 3 or 4 years old. He was throwing a punch almost as soon as he could walk.
Wow.
So that's just kind of what he was born to do. Fortunately, he was born with some good physical attributes.
Oh, yeah.
And
both your sons.
Well, definitely, yeah. So, you know, I mean, it's something I love to do, and therefore, you know, as a parent, you want your children to love what you love. So I never really pushed it on them, but it was always there for them. And
well,
so it was always there for them, and I just kind of build on it from there.
Well, Tegan, let me ask you this. Do you feel like pressure, or was this an actual interest of yours at a young age? Because I can only imagine what it must be like having a father that is literally a legend. So do you feel pressure? Do you feel like, wow, like I have these genes, it's in my DNA, like the song goes by Kendrick. But what is it like for you right now, and to see what you've been accomplishing? Is it becoming more of a reality, like I can really do this?
As soon as I started winning big stuff, I realized that I can do anything I put my mind to.
Now, what do you and your father practice together? Because that's got to be an advantage. Like when you guys spend the most time together, I'm sure that's a huge connection. A lot of you musicians with their children, they'll sit down and they'll write music together. You guys must have an amazing connection inside the gym. What is that like for you two? Do you play more of the son model, or do you play more of the just listening to your father? Like, how is that dynamic there between you two?
Both. Definitely both.
Like, do you feel like he's a little bit more easier on you, or do you feel like he's as strict as he would be with anyone else?
No. He, what would you say, Dad?
I want to have fun with him. That's the goal.
Yeah.
You know, I think when you're, if somebody's pushing you hard to do something and you don't really love what you're doing or you don't believe in it, it's going to be forced. Therefore, you're not going to go as far because the love and the passion's not there. So what I've always tried to do is grow on the love and grow on the passion and just kind of let things take their place. So I always preach that I want to have fun first. And if you're having fun and if you're enjoying yourself, the winning will come naturally. So like I said before, I mean, he just always kind of had a natural ability for wrestling and anything athletic in general, not just wrestling. So he played soccer at a high level, won a state title.
Oh, wow.
He's been boxing with me since he was 4. He does jiu-jitsu. We do little pretend mixed martial arts fights at home. I've got a wrestling room, a boxing room, a weight room, hyperbaric chambers. You know, my whole basement is set up towards training and competing. So you don't really got to go that far around here to get a good workout in. And anytime the kid walks up to me and he's got gloves on and he says, "Dad, let's go downstairs and train," I jump off the couch and go immediately.
So I love what you're saying here, because it amounts to anybody with anything that they're doing. You have to love what you're doing. So Tegan, when did this interest really start with you? Did you like see your father? Let me ask you this. When was the first time you watched one of your father's fights? And what was that like?
When did it start?
Yeah, like, let me ask you, when was the first time you actually saw one of your father's fights, whether it was on DVD or online? When was the first time you actually saw that, and what was that like?
I thought it was interesting. I saw it on tape. It was recorded. He's facing a Asian guy. You double-legged him.
What was this, over in Pride, or...?
Pride, yeah.
It was the coolest thing ever. I saw it and I was like, "Dude, I want to do this." I said to my dad, how do I do this? And he goes, wrestling comes first. And I said, okay. Then ever since I've liked wrestling.
So now, champ, let me ask you this. Your son brought up something really interesting. Back in your era, wrestling was the number one thing to have under your belt. It's still that way today. Can you explain to our listeners why that's the most important thing to practice at a young age and then expand your Muay Thai, your boxing? Why is that so important to have?
Well, wrestlers are so successful in mixed martial arts because they learn how to compete as an individual at a very early age. You know, we go to wrestling tournaments every weekend, and he's been wrestling since he was four. So every weekend we go to these wrestling tournaments, and you know, we have all these kids out there battling and competing, and they're out there crying, and, you know, they want their mom, and, you know, they sometimes they want to quit, and they're bleeding, but they have to continue, and they have to dig deep and learn how to persevere through fear and through pain. So, you know, wrestlers just have a knack for being able to grind through hard moments with through the training and through the competition level. So that's part one, what I'd say the mental aspect. Part two would be the physical aspect. You know, wrestlers, there's a lot of speed, a lot of balance. You have the ability to keep the fight on the feet if you want to. You have the ability to put the fight on the ground if you want to. So therefore, you can dictate where the fight takes place. And that's a big advantage to have. If you're in a fight with somebody and you're in a trouble situation, you get hit hard and you're looking like you might get knocked out, you know, you could always shoot a double and put the fight on the ground. So you know, a lot of guys don't have the ability to do that. Or if you want to keep the fight on the feet, you know, come take me down. And if you can't take me down, you have no choice but to keep the fight on the feet. So that's why wrestlers are so successful, is just with the physical attributes and with the mental toughness. And you know, there's been more UFC world champions with wrestling backgrounds than every other fighting art combined. So if you look at those statistics, I think the numbers pretty much say it all.
And you know what? You've got the experience to say that. I mean, look at your career. I mean, I've watched every single one of your fights, you know, inside and outside the UFC, between Frankie, GSP, BJ, Diaz, Griffin. I mean, the list goes on and on, even up to your last fight, Kenny. But you've been doing this since you were 7 years old. Where did that start with you? Was your father a part of your journey as well? And, I mean, what got you interested?
There was no such thing as mixed martial arts when I was growing up. So for me, it was basically wrestle.
What was that, early 80s?
Well, I mean, my version of mixed martial arts as a kid growing up was getting into fights with kids in the neighborhood. So,
yeah.
You know, that happened a lot. You know, this was back in the 80s. We weren't held by the same standards.
In Minnesota, correct?
I live in Minnesota, Midwest, yeah. Okay. So, you know, that was my version of mixed martial arts growing up, and I became a UFC fan after watching UFC 2 that was on pay-per-view, and I saw Ken Shamrock, and he was a true mixed martial artist, you know, at that time, where he could box, he could kickbox, he had a huge wrestling background, he had a submission background, and you know, that was my defining moment, where I decided that's what I wanted to do, and I found a gym within 6 months and started training mixed martial arts.
Greg...
Within 6 months after watching UFC number 2.
You found the gym with, what was his name? Greg?
Greg Nelson at the Academy right in Brooklyn Center here.
That's it. Now, you have your own place right now, right? Is that where you guys are training at Minnesota Martial Arts Academy, right?
Well, I don't own that. That was the name of the academy where I trained at with Greg Nelson. So I have a gym at home that I train at with my boys. So we've got our own wrestling room. We've got our own boxing room, our own weight room. And I'm going to be building them a boxing ring here soon, probably sometime this summer, so they can go downstairs and box whenever they want to as well.
Now, I'm sure you having, you know, the history that you have, it could be an advantage for helping your son. Have you sent your son to any other gyms? I mean, you have a lot of connections. Do you do that with him, or is that going to be later on?
Well, probably later on. You know, right now we really focus a lot on wrestling, as wrestling takes up probably 9 months out of the year. So he just won the Folkstyle state title here in Minnesota last weekend. but he had won four state titles before that. So it wasn't his first state title. So he's been doing this stuff for a long time. He's won multiple national titles. We travel and we train at a school called Pinnacle, which is a wrestling school, specifically wrestling school. And, you know, we travel and do tournaments all over the country. So, you know, the goal is just to keep moving forward with that. And then we do box, we kickbox, we do jiu-jitsu and things of that nature. So I think, you know, I don't really see the point in paying somebody $100 a month to train my kid when I'm perfectly capable of doing it right here at my house, you know.
Well, yeah, I was just saying, like, you know, do people come over and, you know, have dinner and just show your son a couple of things, just... But I'm sure the future has all that in store for you. So Tegan, let me ask you this. What is it like being the son of a champion on the wrestling team? Do you feel that pressure or, you know, what is that like? That's really interesting to think about.
No, not really.
Like, do the kids know your father?
Not. I mean, yeah, well, some of them do, but... Most of them, but as soon as I tell them who my father is, they're like, oh my God, that's your father? I'm like, yeah.
I don't even know what I would do. Like, do you see your father on the side? Does he scream? Does he get crazy? Does he get into it? Or does he just sit back like Mr. Miyagi and just trust in you? Like, what is that like? Do you look at your father for advice during those moments? Or?
Yeah, I look at my father. Whenever I'm losing a match, I look right at my dad, and he knows what to do.
It's like the baseball coach on third baseline giving you all the little signs, like, all right, do this. We practice that. But
he gets into it a lot.
So let's talk about what happened this past weekend. I know that you're building it up. I mean, 97 pounds, man, and you're number one in the state. You're the champ of the state. What are you doing to keep that mindset and stay healthy? Are you on a diet? Like, what's your day like? Can you kind of paint that picture for our listeners? Like, what a week-to-week, day-to-day life is for you?
Happy. I'm very, very, very happy.
Do you meditate? Like, what do you do to keep that positive mindset? I'm sure it could get frustrating at times. It could get stressful at times. But like your father said, you got to stay positive. You got to love what you do. How do you keep that kind of a mindset to just keep enjoying it and
keep thinking about it? Always keep thinking about wrestling. That's all I do is ever. I never ever stop thinking about wrestling. Like whenever I see my dad, I just want to hit him, wrestle, kick him.
Let's be real. In 10 years, who do you think wins, you or your father?
You know, I train with him a lot, but I'm keeping some stuff just for myself because I don't want to get my butt whooped by my kid.
You know that day's coming, right, champ? You
know, it is. I know. I got a lot of tricks in my bag still.
Yeah, I'm sure you're worried about it. Like, I can't show him everything. That day's going to come where you guys get into that fight and it's going to get real. It's going to get real. And then he's going to make you sit on the side of the table and he's going to take the head seat for dinner.
Yeah. You know, I'll be okay with that though. You know, it's kind of like a passing of the guard kind of a thing where you're okay with that when it's your son and you know, I want nothing but the best for him. So I give him everything I have as far as mental aspect and as far as the physical aspect, and he takes it all and he soaks it in. So he's been a great student so far, and I'm confident that someday he'll be able to be successful as a mixed martial artist.
Can I ask you this? Because you know, if I think forward 10 years from now, 15 years from now, and you have Joe Rogan going, all right, in the corner of Tegan is his father, the legendary Hall of Famer. Is that the main goal or just taking it, you know, year by year right now?
Well, take it year by year, obviously. You know, you look at the big picture and where you want to be in 10 years from now. But, you know, there's a lot of small things that take place before those big goals are able to transpire. So right now the goal is to make the high school team next year, get on a podium. Ooh, yeah. For the state tournament, maybe win a state title or two in high school, win some national tournaments as a high schooler. start training more mixed martial arts. And then, you know, after you graduate high school, you kind of assess where you want to go from there. Cause you know, things change constantly. Hopefully we can stay healthy and keep the mindset right in the process.
So what is it like in high school for wrestling, at such a low weight? I know when I was in high school, they were so strict about, you know, being on weight and this and that. What do you do for diet and, eating right and healthy?
He has to cut weight right now, so he doesn't weigh 97 pounds. It came down from about 102. So he had to lose some weight, and he had to get down to 97 pounds to make that weight class. And, you know, that's typical as a wrestler. You don't wrestle your weight. Nobody does. Everybody's coming down the weight class. And he wasn't even the biggest guy in the weight class either, even though he was cutting weight. There was guys that were cutting more weight. So, you know, as a high schooler, the goal is to, you know, the lowest weight class is 106. I guess as of right now, our goal is to put on maybe 10 or 15 pounds over the summer. And then we can assess where we want to be at that point in time with our varsity team. So we have a really good team right now with our high school here. We have a lot of really stud wrestlers. So I think there's good things to come with the team, and we'll collectively come together and decide where the best spot for all the wrestlers are going to be come next year.
That's got to be really interesting for you to see young kids with such healthy bodies gain a little weight. Do you see the kind of differences with weight gain in kids like you would with adults? Like, what changes do you see, or are there really none at that age?
Well, the changes are significantly different, because you're talking about, you know, a 14-year-old boy,
yeah,
who's going to be a 15-year-old boy, and you know, their bodies are growing right now. As an adult, my body's not growing upwards. You know, it has the ability to grow outwards in the wrong way, but, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, obviously. I feel you. I'm on that page.
You know, these kids, they grow so fast. You know, you just let them eat. You know, I try to keep them on somewhat of a decent diet. You know, I give them vitamins and protein drinks and protein bars and stuff like that, so I can help them grow.
Ooh, champ, let me pause you right there. We do have young listeners out there, and even kids in high school. What are those, what do you guys use for proteins and stuff like that, vitamins? I'm sure there's a lot of listeners interested in that.
Well, I like to do a lot of multivitamins, and we do a lot of B vitamins, because I've always been a big fan of B as far as the brain development goes and things of that nature. A lot of C, a lot of antioxidants and things of that nature. Try to get a lot of good healthy protein, whether it be protein drinks or, you know, fish and steak and meat and things of that nature. So I don't have any sponsors right now, so I don't really want to start firing off a bunch of different names.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Yeah. So, you know, I just, like I said, I just try to give them as much as they want to and just let them do their thing. They're young. So that's part of being a kid, is just being free and having fun whatever that you decide to do.
The big discussion going around in the past couple of years, and I'm sure you're very familiar with this and probably really concerned as a parent, is, you know, CTE, especially at a young age, you know, football being a big deal, fighting, wrestling, all that being a big deal. Does that concern you? And do you wish you knew more about that kind of stuff when you were younger at his age? And what are you doing to prevent anything like that from happening to your son?
Well, you know, CTE wasn't a term that I was familiar with when I was a kid. But if it was a term I was familiar with a kid, it wouldn't have stopped me from doing anything I did anyway. You know, because I've always had a love for combat sports, and CTE wasn't going to scare me away from doing that. And it still doesn't. As far as my boy goes, the reason why he trains with me is boxing and kickboxing and stuff like that is because I don't hit him. If I brought him into a boxing gym and had him train with a bunch of guys who box, they're going to clobber him and they're going to hit him as hard as they can. And
I'm sure you saw a lot of that back in the day.
His brain is too young to get taking damage like that. So I don't hit him when we spar. He can see the punches coming. He feels them real, real light taps. He hits me, of course. He thinks it's pretty cool to give a cat a black eye, but then again, who wouldn't? So, you know, I've been real careful with him, and, you know, the last thing I want to do is have him get hurt right now and stop his development as an athlete and as a student in school.
Now, let me ask you this. Going into high school, it's a big deal. I think you waited until maybe after high school until you started expanding away from wrestling. Are you guys going to be working on boxing in high school, or what's the high school plan? What's the 4-year plan moving forward with you and Tegan?
I think we just keep doing what we're doing. It seems to be working right now. You know, he's all in for wrestling. And like I said, he wrestles 9 months out of the year. And most kids wrestle anywhere from 3 to 4 months out of the year. So that puts him a step ahead right there.
And, boxing, jiu-jitsu.
Boxing, jiu-jitsu in the off season is what we do. So even when we train at home, even during the wrestling season right now, we'll go downstairs in the basement and we'll wrestle. And I put a lot of jiu-jitsu element into my wrestling and the reason why I do that is because I want him to learn how to do the funky stuff.
No wrestler knows how to do what jiu-jitsu.
No wrestlers really do the kind of wrestling that I do because I use my feet a lot and I use a lot of leverage and sweeps and things of like that. Even in my wrestling, I use that stuff. So, you know, and he's starting to use that in his wrestling too, which makes it even more unique for him, just to add the extra element of funk.
Now, what has changed over the years between when you were in high school to your son going in high school? What's, some of the popular things when you were young compared to the popular things that they're doing now? What's been the biggest change that you've noticed?
You're talking as far as sports go or just in general?
Just in general of training.
Well, there's a lot more circuit training involved now. When I was coming up, when I was young, his age, nobody knew what circuit training was. So that's a big element that they're putting into youth sports now is the circuit training, you know, the tires and the ropes and the sledgehammers and things of that nature. That's a good element to add because you're not forcing kids to lift weights. When I was a freshman in high school, we were lifting weights, even though it wasn't healthy for our bodies. Whereas now, that's not necessary anymore. You can get a really good workout without touching any kind of heavy weights nowadays.
How many
evolution of sports, you know?
You had over 400 matches by the time you were out of high school. How many does Tegan have right now? How many matches are we looking at so far?
I mean, if I had to put a number on it, I'd say he's been wrestling since kindergarten and he's eighth grade right now. So he's wrestling for 9 years. And let's just say you get 50 matches a year. I'd say he's probably got about 400 right now.
Oh, wow.
I'd have to imagine.
So this is a really serious question. And I know Tegan's a little older now, but doing all this, what do you do when your son comes home from high school and is dealing with, you know, the seniors picking on the freshmen? What do you do? How do you deal with that?
Well, he's more than capable of defending himself, but I don't want him to get in any kind of situation where he's going to get in trouble in school. So the rule is that you don't pick fights with people and your first instinct is to walk away.
Yeah.
If you're backed up against a corner, you have my permission to fight your way out. That's how the law states it. So, hopefully we don't have any issues I know a lot of people in the community and stuff like that. And I don't think we'll have any issues. But I guess you never know. Hopefully it doesn't come to that.
Cause it's crazy. Kids nowadays, kids always are crazy. So, I always find that really interesting. How parents fighting deal with that, with a history of, you know, UFC, Bellator, and all that, because I'm sure they could be the target sometimes. So it's really interesting to ask that, and I think that's the best way to go about it. As we get towards the end of this, I'm really interested to feel out if you guys go to any events. Do you guys sit and watch UFC events together, or are you guys not really into that?
I haven't watched a UFC event, I'll bet you, in about 7 or 8 years.
Why? Are you really? Wow.
Well, it's like, for me, it's like pouring salt in the wound, right? You know,
get anxiety a little bit watching?
Well, I didn't retire because I wanted to. I retired because I had to. You know, I had torn hips and bulged disc in my back and torn knees. And, you know, my whole body was falling apart. So I had no choice but to retire. So it's kind of like pouring salt in the wound. And yeah, I do get anxiety and all the old fight feelings come back when I do watch those events. So it's not really fun for me to sit on the couch and watch that. But, you know, my sons, you know, they watch little videos and highlight videos and stuff like that from time to time. But, you know, they don't really watch a whole lot of it either. But I have brought them to a fight show before and they thought it was pretty cool. Right here in Minnesota, it was being held by Brock Larson.
Well, yeah, isn't Brock Lesnar actually from Minnesota, right?
Brock Lesnar, I don't think he's from Minnesota. I think he's from one of the Dakotas, but he moved to Minnesota to wrestle.
Yes, that's right.
So now he still lives in Minnesota.
I got to ask you this since you brought it up. You know, obviously with your career and everything, you just brought up retiring. What was the motivation to call Hoist out? What was that about? What was that, four years ago?
Yeah, it was just something I've always wanted to do. I've always wanted to fight Hoist Gracie. And when Hoist Gracie came to the UFC and fought Matt Hughes, I was begging for that fight.
Yeah.
Because I was the lightweight champion at that time, and I think Matt was the welterweight champion. So I was begging for that fight. I wanted that fight so bad. But, you know, the reason why they wouldn't give that to me is because Matt was bigger, and, you know, they want to prove that Gracie Jiu-Jitsu, you know, beats all. The size doesn't matter. So that, you know, Matt got that fight, obviously. And he was a bigger name than I was at that time, too. But, you know, just something. And he was one of my reasons why I started fighting mixed martial arts.
He's a wonderful guy. Him and his family. Very, very nice people. Yes.
Great people, no doubt. So when I called him out, it wasn't anything malicious. It was just something that I always wanted to do.
An interest, yeah. Like a bucket list kind of a thing, I bet, right?
Right.
So do you talk to Matt, like, you know, with his story in the past couple of years? Did you reach out to him and his family during that time, or?
No, I haven't talked to Matt for a really long time. I think the last time I saw Matt was at the UFC Expo, probably maybe 2011. So it's been about 9 years since I've talked to Matt.
What was that like?
It was good. You know, we've always been very cordial with each other. So we've always had a lot in common, and we've trained together. He came to Minnesota to train with me at one point in time when he was getting ready to fight Matt Serra. We fought each other for a world title. We were both managed by the same guy. We both had a lot of the same contacts. So there was a lot of stuff there that we had in common, and we've always got along with each other. So there was no animosity or anything at any point in time. And you know, since his train accident, I guess I don't really know how he's doing since then. I've read some stuff on the internet, but I guess you never really know what's true and what's not.
Now, champ, I got two more questions for you, but I also got another one for your son. Matt, what is it like, you know, at that age right now, going into high school? Are you excited for that big jump up? Are you trying to stay away from girls? Like, what's your actual life like outside of wrestling and outside of all that? What kind of a person are you if you take wrestling out?
You asking that for me or for him?
For him, for T.
Oh, okay.
Go
ahead,
oh, me.
What's your life like? Like, what kind of music are you into? What are some of your other hobbies that you're into?
I don't know. It's just a whole new world. Making new friends, wrestling, gonna wrestle some more.
Do you watch WWE at all? Since you guys don't watch UFC, do you watch WWE or?
No.
You're not into any of that?
No. I'm pretty excited for high school.
So honestly, what are your friends like? Do you just hang out with like all the athletes or?
I hang out with a lot of my friends. Well, I hang out with a lot of the wrestlers. I hang out with Tyler DuBois, Zane Carlson, Logan Granroth.
So are you looking at any of the college? Do you watch like college wrestling?
Yes, I watch college wrestling a lot.
Do you have interest in doing that after high school? Like,
yeah, I do. But do you think I could wrestle college?
You keep focused. You can do whatever you want.
No, like,
just by the looks of you, like, I'm gonna pop up the photos that Alex sent me right now. You're gonna beef up, man. I'm telling you. When I was a freshman, by the time I was a junior, I like doubled in size. Champ, how big were you when you were a freshman compared to when you graduate?
Me?
Yeah, how big did you blow up?
When I was in ninth grade, I weighed 98 pounds, so I was Tegan's size as a ninth grader, so he's 1 year ahead of me as far as size and development goes. And when I was a senior in high school, I wrestled 125, I weighed about 130. So I wasn't the biggest fellow in the world, and, you know, I guess I'm still not.
You want to keep him at a lower weight class compared to a higher one? And can you kind of
I want him to grow. I just want him to grow, and I don't care what weight class we wrestle. So as long as he just keeps growing and you wrestle whatever weight class he wants to. So if he ends up wrestling 160 pounds as a senior, that's perfectly fine. As long as he doesn't weigh 140 wrestling 160.
What does Mama Heather Shirk think about all this? Does she enjoy it, or does she not want her son to fall under the pressure? Or is she really proud of her son? What's Mama feeling?
She enjoys the wrestling aspect of it. You know, very, very proud, of course, but she enjoys the wrestling aspect of it. And it's fun. It's a family thing. We all really enjoy watching both of our boys compete. As far as mixed martial arts goes, she's not sold on the idea. Yeah. So we'll see. We got plenty of time.
She doesn't want to go through it again.
So that's what I think. Yeah.
Yep.
I'm sure that was very stressful for her. Champ, what was the conversation like at home when you did decide to retire? You know, how did life change for you after that?
I think there was a big sigh of relief as far as the family went. For me, on the other hand, there was definitely a transitional phase that took place, you know, going from being a fighter, and I always say back to civilian life is kind of what I refer to it as, because, you know, when I was competing and as a UFC world champion, I wasn't living the life of a normal civilian. You know, I was traveling, I was on airplanes, I could do a lot of stuff that most people couldn't do. And, you know, when you retire, all that goes away. The phone stops ringing and nobody really cares anymore. So there was probably about a 2-year process where it kind of took me to revert back to, as I said before, quote unquote, civilian life. So I do feel it's really hard to explain, I guess, because as a fighter, you know, you're kind of always on edge, and you always have fighting on your mind, and you always have training on your mind, and you're always in pain, and you know, now all that's gone. So now the only thing on my mind is just helping my kids out with wrestling and my job, of course. I flip houses. So.
Yes, I was
gonna, a different lifestyle.
I was gonna bring that up, but you know, obviously, you know, you look at BJ and how he has you know, a difficult time being out of the fight scene and stuff like that. How long did it take you to adjust? Did it take a while, or?
It was a couple of years, I'd have to say. You know, for sure. It was a hard couple of years, and maybe even longer than that, to really start to be able to adjust back to normal lifestyle. So, and I see that a lot, you know, and I think, you know, I don't know, I can't really say a whole lot about BJ, but I do see that a lot with athletes when they retire. They just have a hard time readjusting to normal life. But, you know, for me, I had a game plan, an exit strategy to get out of the fight game. So I didn't retire and then just shrug my shoulders.
Yeah.
I had a game plan in place before I retired.
And you waited a couple of years before making that decision.
Right. Yeah. And I did that. Well, that's the reason why, because, you know, I wanted to make sure the game plan was going to work before I actually announced my retirement. So my game plan out of the fight industry was a company called Training Mask that I started with a guy named Casey Danford. So that was the game plan out of the fight industry. And then, you know, that led into real estate. So, you know, just like when I was competing, always setting goals and always trying to figure out a strategy as far as where I want to be in life.
My last
thing, I really try to instill that on my kids a lot too, not only with sports, but with school and moving forward and into real life. You know, you have to have a game plan. You have to have a strategy. And I always tell them that you can accomplish anything you put your mind to.
And that's what your son said right at the beginning of this interview. Like, literally, you like Muhammad Ali said, I had to believe I was a champion before I could actually become a champion. And I definitely believe in that kind of a mindset. Champ, I got two more questions for you before I let you guys go. Number one is, what do you think, what goes through your mind when you see, you know, Tito Ortiz and Chuck Liddell going in there for, you know, their third fight? Does that kind of panic you to see Chuck go in there and do that again? Like, can you relate to that? What were you thinking in times like that?
I've got nothing but the highest amount of respect for Chuck.
Oh, you know, we all do, yes.
He's done some amazing things in this sport. But, you know, I kind of go back to the whole, you know, you have to have a game plan out of the fight industry.
Yeah.
And if you don't have a game plan out of the fight industry will suck you back in. So I think that might be what happened with Chuck. You know, I mean, what is he doing right now outside of the industry? You know, he was working for the UFC for a while, and they had to cut him loose because they sold the company. And I think the fight game just pulled him back in because he didn't really have anything else to do to keep him busy, I guess. And I could completely be wrong, but you know, it was sad to see, because I know how good Chuck was in his prime. You could hit him in the head with a baseball bat and not put him down. You know, now that's a different story, but you know, he is pushing 50 and he's had, you know, 45, 50 fights under his belt. So it's a sad thing to see, of course. But what do you do? I mean, he's a grown man, so you do what you want to do, right?
I was talking to Brad Kohler about this. He was like, you know what? They should open up a geriatrics league where you give us a 2-minute break in between rounds and we get to drink a coffee in between rounds, like just joking around and stuff like that. Because that thirst probably never goes away for you guys. You probably, you know, it's still in the back of your mind somewhere.
It always is. You know, speaking for myself, I didn't compete because it was cool, because when I first started fighting, it wasn't cool. Nobody even knew what it was. I didn't compete because I was forced to. I competed because I loved it. And if you love something that much and you put that much time and effort into it, that love never goes away. Yeah. Even though your body says no, your brain still says yes. And every now and then my brain still says, hey, you know what? Let's go one more time. But then I go get one good workout at the gym and my brain says, never mind, let's forget about it.
I feel that struggle with a lot of fighters going through the same thing. And it's so interesting to hear. My last question here, what's your number one memory? What's your favorite memory? If we're all at your funeral right now and there could be a memory that plays from your fight career, what's the highlight?
Well, winning the world title, of course. You know, that's the pinnacle of any sport that you compete in. Everybody wants to win a world title at whatever sport they're playing. And for me, winning the UFC belt, I'll never forget what it felt like when Dana White wrapped that belt around my waist. You know, I had many opportunities over the course of my career to fight for other world titles in other organizations, and I always turned them down. I always said no. And people said, why? Why do you not want to fight for my world title? And I said, the first world title I want to win is the UFC world title, and I kept that true. So the first world title I ever won in the history of my career was the UFC world title, because I wanted that belt. Well, I wanted the first belt to be wrapped around my waist to say UFC on it. So that was the goal I had, and that was an amazing feeling when he wrapped that around my waist.
The Muscle Shark, the champ, the legend, and now he's got the sun coming up, following his footsteps. Guys, thank you so such an interesting interview here. And I'm really interested to see how this unravels, how your son's career will blossom. What about your other son, Tegan? Tegan and Kyler. Yeah, you got two sons. What does Kyler do? Does he not follow the path of wrestling, or what does he do?
Yeah, he does. You know, he's never taken it as serious as Tegan has. He's always kind of been more lackadaisical as far as wrestling goes. He's been a little more on the shyer side, but you know, he's really come out of his shell in this last year, and he had a really good successful wrestling season this year on the JV for the high school program, and now he's doing the off season stuff. And
he's ripped too. He's got your jeans, man. Both your sons ripped.
So he's training at the Pinnacle School now as well. All summer long, he'll be training there, and then next year the goal is to make varsity. So hopefully we'll have two Shirk boys on the St. Francis varsity wrestling team next year.
Oh wow, that's so interesting to see and hear. Guys, I want to thank you so much. Before I let you go, I'd like to hand the microphone over to you. If you have any shout outs, anything at all that you want to say, the floor is now all yours.
Well, I'd like to thank Sentinel Sports, first of all, for setting up this interview. Secondly, Training Mask, Casey Danford. He's done a lot of really good stuff for me. And Tegan, you got anything, buddy?
Well, Tegan, when's your next match? What's going on with your wrestling? Do you have another match coming up or tournament?
Oh yeah, I'm still gonna I'm gonna do Fiston Greco. I've been looking forward for Fiston Greco this whole year.
So in Minnesota, they have what's called the Triple Crown, right? They have three different styles of wrestling. They have folk style, freestyle, and Greco. The seasons run back to back to back. So he just won the folk style state title. Now, if he wins the freestyle and Greco state titles in June, then he'll be what's called a triple crown. So that's something that he's been talking about wanting all season long. So that's his goal right now, is to win that triple crown.
Tegan, can you explain to our listeners out there what's the difference between those three?
Okay, so in Greco, you cannot touch the leg at all. You cannot hook a leg. You can't have anything to do with legs. No legs, only upper body. And freestyle, tilts and turns. Whenever you hit a shoulder on a mat, it's two. Instantly two. It doesn't matter how long or how fast it is, it's instantly two. And folk style, it's everything. Greco, it's a combined mixture of freestyle and Greco. There has to be a certain amount of time to get back points. Say if I go on my back for 2 seconds, that's two near fall. But for freestyle, if I go on my back for a split second, that's instantly two.
So basically the scoring's different and the moves are different. So it just keeps people on the mat and gives them something different to work and forces them kind of out of their element. Like with Greco, for instance, you can't touch legs at all. It's all upper body. So it forces kids out of their element and it forces them to use upper body throws, whereas most kids wouldn't do that. Yeah. So not a lot of kids wrestle freestyle in Greco. It's probably maybe half the amount of kids that do freestyle in Greco that do folk style.
Oh, wow. Yeah, it's got to be confusing for a lot of people. They probably get them mixed up sometimes, like we see, you know, with MMA fighters going over to boxing. You're always like, oh, are they going to go for a single leg? We actually saw that not too long ago. But, guys, I want to thank you so much for joining me here on Pure Evil. And Tegan, congratulations on all the success, and congratulations on being the son of a legend, man. That's got to be so cool.
Thank you.
Guys, have a great day, and I'll talk to you soon.
All right, thanks, bud. Take care.
God bless.
Bye.